game over.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Roto Experts in the Morning is on now.
Good morning. Welcome to the Roto Experts in the Morning. I had an hour off this morning as I'm going to do the 11:30 a.m. show live, and I'm only held to 32,822 words a day. So I rested up. I'm ready to go. What's going on, Mr. Engel?
We missed you, Tony.
Oh,
yeah.
You know what? I was listening.
But you know what, though? It was very interesting. Like, I always listen to you on my ride in, and I finally got to listen to your fantasy baseball primer this morning, especially for new players, and I really enjoyed myself. That's good stuff. Nice job by you, Tony.
Well, thank you. Yeah, if you guys are playing fantasy baseball and you haven't won or you're not experienced playing, definitely go to On Demand on iTunes and look up the fantasy baseball preview that I did. It's an hour preview, and it gives you the real basics of how to be successful in playing fantasy baseball. I found out, Corey, a lot of people go into fantasy baseball without a plan.
Well, that's one of the worst things you can do approaching any fantasy season. And I didn't know that you did this program. I'll make sure I check it out. This is the first I'm hearing of this.
Probably help you.
You think so, Greg? You talking trash now?
As soon as Greg said that, I said, that's not going to go over too well.
Really, Corey. Yeah, whatever. Tony, what's up, man?
Oh, not much. I was listening to you guys for the first hour.
Yeah.
And it was so funny. Florio was telling me to call in, right?
Right.
I'm saying, I'm on a hold. And I said, oh, no, not. I'm just listening to it on the computer. I thought I was on hold, but I got a little confused.
You were calling in, and I was pressing these buttons to try to get you on the air, it did not work.
Yeah, see,
trial by fire.
We tried.
See, people, this is one of the things in radio. Sometimes the guys that are talking on the radio know the least about what the hell to do. Actually,
that's true. But we got on the air. We were
that was
right
good. Yeah,
that was
good. Yeah, that's good. Pretty soon, you know, maybe you can take a bus. You can drive the bus.
Maybe one day.
Yeah,
maybe one day.
I would drive a bus for free for one day in New York.
I would not.
No, Tony.
Not too.
I don't think you want to do that.
Yeah. The three New Yorkers all were like, nah.
Yeah, I take the bus every day. Like,
no.
Tony, like some of the things you say, you get abused back and people wouldn't care. It's like there's a reason why they say, you know, why they have warnings about not attacking a bus driver. It's a felony.
That's the craziest
thing
ever, right?
It's very, very difficult dealing with that the public every day. On a singular ride, you see so many people just getting pissed off.
Yeah, that's so funny that they put signs up. Like, if you assault a driver, you can go to jail for up to 5 years. Like, you need to be told that. Like, that's crazy.
I think you're okay here on the radio, like, ripping people and calling them assholes or whatever. It wouldn't go over so good on an MTA bus.
No.
I'd be actually scared for you.
I'll take your word.
So, Tony, you heard it. Scotty and I were talking about hitter strikeouts just a couple moments ago. We got a lot to get to. I want to ask your opinion on this, right? Like, so I count hitter strikeouts in my league.
It's a category?
It's a category. You don't like that.
I played in a league like that before. I actually won the league.
Right.
This is about 3 years ago or so. It was like a 10-by-10, and hitter strikeouts is one of the categories. And I have Ricky Weed on my team that year.
Right.
And he was, and I mean, literally him by himself was horrific.
Tony?
Now, here's the thing. How many categories are you playing?
14.
So you got like
7-7.
Games, innings. No, not innings. So you have like.
We have.
No hitters and stuff
that. No,
triples.
No. We have, so hitting categories, we have normal ones, we play OBP rather than average. So runs, RBIs, steals, home runs, hitter strikeouts, OBP, and then we use total bases as the extra one.
Okay.
Okay.
So let me ask you this.
Yeah.
And this is for all of us, you know what I'm saying? As people that broadcast, help listeners, we have people that come to us for fantasy advice. Do you think that we should all be playing in at least one standard 5x5 rotisserie league?
Yeah.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
I think that's basic. Absolutely. You know, if you're going to talk about the game, you should, you know, play at least, you know, one league.
If you're going to be on the radio, you're talking to the microphone.
The first time you acted like a quality producer. No, to your question, yeah, it's like, you know, I want to be able to expand. It's like I was just saying, you know, I'm not going to sit here and lie to the audience and say,
right,
okay, I play in head to head, this is what you should do, because I don't. I'm rotisserie 5x5, 6x6. But, you know, it's like I want to get into NL only and AL only. But, you know, the challenge is like, you know, I could play in like 12 football leagues and feel competitive, but it's so much more work with baseball, you know, because there's so much prep and, you know, there's so many more players and so many more games that I don't want to, you know, overdo it. You know, I'm already in three mixed league. It's like, you know, I'm going to turn down some more invitations unless they're like, they're like a mono league or maybe a head-to-head league.
Greg, to answer your question, if I was in a 14-team league... 14-category league.
Yes.
14-category league. I would immediately eliminate stolen bases,
okay,
saves, and strikeouts.
Really?
So I wouldn't go with that, right? So I'm going to look at 11 categories, and I think I get an advantage because other people will spread themselves out thin.
Right.
And I don't have to. I just can win every week. You know, go in and win.
Yeah.
You know, 7-8 times. I think people try to win all the categories in head-to-head, and they make a mistake. So if I'm not drafting any,
you can punt in head-to-head.
Yeah. If I'm not drafting any stolen base guys, that's going to give me an advantage. I would think picking up home run hitting guys, RBI guys, can get some guys with average. And if I'm not wasting on closers, I'm gonna out innings people every single week. I'm gonna get more innings than them,
sure,
as they have their closers in there. So that will allow me strikeouts to be better. That allow give me a greater chance at wins. It could hurt me a little bit on ERA or WHIP. I gotta try to get quality pitchers because of that. But I just eliminate categories when I play head to head.
So I know you said that, but then, you know, I go back to your strategy, right? Of like, okay, writing down what you expect for everything, right? And trying to get the most. Like, I know that for the most part, if I finish in that top three, as Corey was talking about yesterday, right? The top three of every category across the board, even if it's head to head, like, I'm going to be in a position to win at the end of the year if I am in that top three, top five of every category.
Yeah, like, it's crazy. Just in basketball, I'm playing head to head, right?
Yes.
Somehow, I'm in first place, but I am last place in points. You would think that would be one of the things that, you know, would be impossible to do. So I just got all my other categories. I didn't worry about points, and I got rebounds and assists, and I picked guys that had high field goal percentage that, you know, shoot close to the basket. And I just didn't even care about points. I didn't even care about block shots, but I'm not that bad in block shots. And I was able to put up a decent team like that, and I've always been able to do that just by eliminating one or two categories. When everybody else is trying to fill 10 categories,
right,
I want to win 7-3 every week.
Right.
Most leagues, you know, are 10 categories.
So in my basketball league, right, like, we have punted turnovers. Like, I do not care about the turnovers. Like, it doesn't matter to me. I just want as many guys that are going to play, to score a bunch of points. I don't care how often, like, Isaiah Thomas, for instance, turns the ball over. If he scores 35 points a night.
Right.
And so it doesn't matter to me.
It's to Tony's point. You know, it's different in rotisserie than it is in head-to-head. You know, you want to win the week. You don't have to win every single category. Your focus is different. Like Tony talks about, when you're playing rotisserie, you want to go for balance.
Right.
You have to go for balance. You know, you can't try to dominate one category and then finish dead last in another. It doesn't work. It's different strategies for different type of scoring system. And then you got to know whether you're head-to-head points or you're head-to-head categories. You know, it's the most basic of things, but sometimes people you know, just fly past it. It's like, you know, people don't, they buy a board game or they buy a video game. They don't read the rules. They go straight into playing
the
game.
Opening up the package.
Yeah, they go
not
straight.
To be, not to be, they go, you know, sexist again. That sounds like a men thing. Like, us men don't read directions at all. Yeah.
A lot of us just don't read directions, period. They just go straight into whatever they're going to do. And especially when you get close to the fantasy baseball season and you say, man, I'm not in a league or I'm not in enough leagues, you're just going to jump in and maybe not read all the directions.
Let me ask you this, Greg. You play with the same group of buddies basically all your leagues?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So why in basketball would you eliminate the turnover, but in baseball you keep the strikeout? You have the strikeout category.
Like, me personally, right?
Yeah, it seems like you're playing for a more offensive game.
Right.
But then you have that wild card in the baseball league.
You're saying you just... punted, basically, right?
But still, it's a category.
Well, right? Yeah. That's what he's asking, right? Yeah. Why am I punting turnovers but not punting hitters?
Yeah,
right,
yeah.
I don't know.
I'm just curious.
You know why I think it is? Because I think, like, when I'm doing the hitter strikeout thing, right?
Yeah.
Then it feels like I'm also punting not OBP, but like if I had average, I don't. Like the guys with the high strikeouts, like Chris Davis hits 40 bombs,
yeah,
but he bats to 30. Like, so that's average and it's hitter strikeouts. That's two to me, not one. I don't know. Maybe I should relook these things.
I'm just asking. Right. I'm just trying to figure out what the logic is. So last season I did a couple draft champions. Mm-hmm. And that was kind of it. Obviously, this year I'll be involved more with maintaining and managing fantasy baseball teams. I'm also going to, maybe not a head to head. I'm going to do a points league, not a head to head.
Okay.
So I'm going to get involved. I think the points format is fun too, but definitely I'll be in some rotisserie leagues so I can be an asset to the program, Scott. Try to be at least. Apparently, I haven't been the last 5 years.
Oh, certain areas, definitely. Yeah. Humor, entertainment, et cetera.
Tony, let me ask
football
you here.
Analysis.
Let me ask you here about the two players we were talking about last hour, Scotty. Because I'd love to get your opinion, and you as well, Corey. That's Jose Abreu versus Matt Carpenter. Where do you stand on that, Tony?
Yeah, that was. I was listening when you guys were talking. I lean to Abreu. He's got a good ballpark there. It's the fourth best offensive ballpark in the league. Might not be that all year, though. He'll hit 30-plus home runs. Greg, I kind of agree with you, too. It's weird on the two years with the home runs with Carpenter. He switched his approach later on, and he's put up 49 home runs, as Scott said, the last couple of years. Like, some of those guys, you just worry that all of a sudden, they go back to hitting line drives or something like that. Like, there's always a scary part there for me with Carpenter. He doesn't run. He's eligible at a bunch of positions, so that actually makes him worthwhile. But it's Abreu for me. I go there. I think I can get 30-plus home runs. But his home runs have actually declined since he first came in that league.
It has. It's continued to go down 36 to 30, as we saw 26, right? It's continually gone down. But yeah, Corey, what about you? Like, do you also feel like, for whatever reason, Matt Carpenter's not this power dude? Like, I know he said, Scotty talked about it, 49 home runs the last 2 years. Tony and I just have the same feeling, though.
Yeah, and make that 3-for-3. I think I'm going to get involved with Abreu on this one. Listen, Tony always talks about the amount of people that hit over 20 home runs last season. Jose Abreu, it should be hitting more than 20 than 25 home runs. We want to see those home runs go back into the 30s, but he's always hit the ball on the ground a lot. But he needs to get some more distance on his fly balls, and then he can hopefully change his, his fortunes can change. But it seems like his power numbers have been going down every year, but he's still a good, solid hitter.
Yeah, I mean, he is what he is, but there's nothing wrong with it.
No,
but you want to see him hit 30 to 35.
Well, people have been saying that for the last 2 years, and they haven't been getting it. So, I don't want to get greedy. I'll take 30, I'll take 28.
Yeah, I guess it's about that round number, right? It's about that,
And with Carpenter, I can't blame you guys for having that all linger in the back of your mind, but I think after 2 years of it, I'm sold that the guy can hit at least 17 to 19,
Well, 17 to 19 is a big drop off from 28.
Yeah, well, but what do you go from 28 to 21? It's about a 20 home run guy. I'm comfortable in knowing that he's within that range.
Okay, all right.
I don't think he's a 28 guy.
Okay, hey, I want to take a break here because when we come back, I want to get into Connect Four here because I was really excited putting this together last night.
All right,
I'm going to play it. It's not so much a game as it is just. An exercise, sure. Yes. It's not even a statistical anomaly. It's just breaking down a statistic.
We got an exercise?
It's more of an exercise.
Calisthenics.
Well, to be honest with you, I've been doing jumping jacks a lot recently.
Really?
Yeah, we
get your blood flowing.
Jumping jacks.
Yeah. He's jumping jacks. Jumping jacks like
calisthenics. Yeah.
Is that a good calisthenics? Get the blood flowing.
Yeah. I would guess.
That seems like that's good cardio.
You think so? Right? I feel like I need to be doing a lot more than just my jumping jacks. Now. I walk to and from work.
Yeah, that's good.
Which is good.
Good exercise.
And then doing the calisthenics with the heart. The heart jumping a little bit, and my calf. I'm feeling my calves interestingly enough.
Okay.
But that's kind of it right now.
When do you do these jumping jacks?
When I get home from work.
Okay. You do them before you wind down?
I do them like either like before I go to bed or like before I eat dinner, depending on the day.
Okay. How many you do?
Like
150. 150 jumping jacks?
Yeah.
What about your neighbors?
So
like jumping up and down.
So yesterday, I told you I had dinner with my girlfriend. I told you that, Scotty. Yeah. And I was at her apartment. We cooked dinner.
The jumping jacks at her house.
Yes.
I know she was like, "What is this dude doing?" Did she join you?
No. I asked her to join me. She's like, "No." And so her sister was there, and her sister's like, "What the F are you doing?" And I'm like, "I'm doing jumping jacks." You know, she was. You know, there's like a you can go to a gym, right? Like, you know. And I'm like, well, what do I need to go to the gym for?
I just feel like doing it right.
I'm just doing jumping jacks. She goes, do you understand how annoying this is?
You can go to a gym. It's true.
Because if somebody's trying to be very tactful, you know, you can go to a gym and do
if that. Somebody's doing jumping jacks around you, you got to be like, okay, what the F is wrong with this guy? I be doing jumping jacks also?
That's like Manhattan annoyed, tactful. You know, you can go to a gym and do that.
Yes. You know? Like, get a room. You know what I mean? Tony, you do jumping jacks?
No, but I have a similar crazy story. I go to the gym 3 times a week with my ex-wife. You know what that's like?
Oh, boy.
That sounds like hell.
She calls me one day. She goes, I want to go to the gym. I don't want to go alone. Will you go to the gym with me? So 3 times now, it's turned into like a every other night thing.
That's pretty. Well, it's a good fun thing, though. No,
until Tony spot says, "Oh yeah, I'll spot you," and then like a barbell falls on.
Oh Jesus! It's actually pretty good. Yeah, it's pretty good. The kids, you know, when you become an adult, sometimes you have kids. You got to do things. You know, you got to.
Well, it's good. It's a good thing. You stay, you know, stay in shape and whatever. So I'm at the jumping jack phase at the moment. You know, I'm eating my salads for lunch. The dinner's the problem. I had a nice big ziti last night because Michael Flory was eating big ziti yesterday morning, and I'm like,
"What's better than a big ziti?"
Nothing. Yeah. Nothing. So I go, "I gotta make big ziti tonight." So I made big ziti, and it was delicious. And of course, she took all the leftovers, so I had to get a salad for lunch again.
Okay.
Well, you're not supposed to tell people that on the air.
What?
That she took all the leftovers. It makes her sound, you know, like she's.
Oh, no. I mean, like, it kind of works like whoever's apartment we cook at like gets the leftovers just because, like, you know, it's kind of like the rewards. She doesn't have to buy dinner now. She has leftovers.
That's cool.
She probably gave it to a homeless person anyways. She's nice like that.
Yeah, I guess. She's a very nice person like that, but she also really likes big ziti, so.
They can have the green beans. They ain't getting this.
Yeah, pretty much, right? Or the massive amounts of bread that I bought. Connect Four, next. Here on the Roto Experts in the Morning, Fantasy Sports Radio Network. We're back here, Roto Experts in the Morning, Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Corey, something you want to bring up?
I was just talking about that video.
Yeah, we were talking about a video where a teacher in Charlotte has a different handshake with all his kids. Awesome. Yeah. Awesome spot.
Also, I saw online this morning the Players Tribune.
Yeah.
Michael Vick.
Oh!
Wrote a letter to the city of Atlanta.
So what was I saying yesterday that, like, when Deion Sanders was bullshit, but Michael Vick was like a Falcon at heart? Probably. Yeah.
So I actually, somebody sent me that article.
Yeah.
And I was very interested in reading it because he said it like it was an unbelievable article from Michael Vick.
Yeah. Yeah. He really breaks down the whole thing, you know, from like how the one of the biggest things that happened to him was not being able to be the quarterback of the Atlanta Falcons. And, you know, he had. When he was going into prison, he had goals he wanted to accomplish.
Right.
And, like, one day they all came crashing down. I believe his grandmother had a stroke the same day the Falcons drafted Matt Ryan, and how he was depleted, you know what I mean? How he always wanted to get back to Atlanta. But now him and Matt Ryan are good friends and stuff like that, him and Roddy White. And this year when they had the celebration to the Georgia Dome, they invited him back, and it was, like, a great move.
Too, like, the one thing, like, you know, how cool would it have been to see, like, Roddy White still playing and, you know, be on that team?
Yeah, that would have been cool, yeah. He says, you know, just like everybody else, he'll be watching and rooting. My guess is he'll probably be at the game. So, yeah, if you got to check it out on the Players Tribune, Michael Vick wrote a letter to the city of Atlanta.
There you go.
Did you read it?
I haven't read it, but I'm going to read it today because I'm very interested in reading about it, to be honest with you. Okay, let's play a little Connect Four here. Shall we?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to give you four players, and they're connected by a sabermetric status. One of them we've talked about, not like something crazy here, right? Some stat I've never heard of. Some stuff we've talked about, guys, over the past couple of weeks and as we got into baseball. I want to talk more about the stat. I want to talk more about these players, how they connect, how we decide. That's kind of where I'm going with this. So let's do it here. Let's get in. This is Connect Four, gentlemen. Connect these four players. J.D. Martinez, Mike Trout, Jonathan Villar, and Freddie Freeman. Tone.
Jesus. I have... Those are not any... Jeez. I would go... How about... Hi, Woba.
Close. That is very close. Not correct. Scott.
Hi, Obi. No. Hi, Babip.
That is correct. Hi, Babip. In fact, they all have Babips in the 370s last year. Now, all four of these guys are obviously awesome. And we look at Babip, and it's comparative to how their Babip fared in the past, right? Like, every player is different, and their batting average balls in play is not necessarily reflective against the rest of the league. But I find it interesting here that these guys all in the 370s. We talked about Jonathan Villar a lot yesterday, and maybe the day before that, and that VR's numbers, like, the power was kind of legit. We know what the speed is, but we talked about how the average probably going to go down, and this BABIP, Scotty, probably representative that it will in a way.
Well, you know, I don't have it up in front of me because, you know, I don't want to look at it, but, like, sometimes these speed guys, you know, are going to hit a lot of line drives, you know, and, you know, could probably lead, you know, to a pretty good BABIP here, you know, so you got to look at the player's profile here. I think the batting average will naturally go down. It is an unusually high BABIP, but, you know, I think he'll guys like that generally tend to profile above the league average.
Well, guys, see, the one guy that threw me off in that is J.D. Martinez.
Okay.
Because the other guys all have speed, and you could pick up, you know, a couple ground balls here and there, you know, a month. And that would drive up your batted balls in play.
Yeah. Sure.
Where J.D. Martinez doesn't fit that realm. So that was the one that's surprising to me. And you look at Martinez throughout his brief career. You know, he's older, but he's been up and down, and his team's given up on him. He's had some variances. Lately, he has had some very high batted balls in play. But if you go back to the Houston days, there were some days that were, you know, that weren't there. So I don't know. His batted balls in play, that's interesting that it's so high.
Yeah.
Because it makes no sense. It's usually fast guys.
Right, totally. Does that make you a little hesitant on J.D. Martinez next year? Or this year, I should
say. I'm always hesitant on the average. But I think if they give him the opportunity to play every day.
Yep.
He's going to hit 30 home runs.
Okay.
I think in Houston, he would have done the same thing. They kept taking him in and out of the lineup, and that happened so many times. And then they wonder why a guy doesn't play. Baseball stats are accumulated over 162 games. These guys, if you let them play, always get pretty close to what we expect out of them. And I think he would have been the same thing in Houston. There was just bad management at the time.
So I've in my research past couple of weeks and stuff, as we get closer to the 2016 season, a lot of people are talking once again about Freddie Freeman.
2016 season. Like
sorry, Scott. The 2017 season. Yeah, thank you. The 2017 season.
Yeah.
A lot of people in my research and now, you know, going through stuff, kind of get the feel of things, get back into the swing of it, Scotty. You know, I'm patiently waiting on that Roto Experts exclusive as baseball package.
I can get you the 2016 version.
I need the 2017. I need the 2017 one. You're not going to charge me for that one either.
$34.95.
So now, Fred Freeman. So he's one of the players that's grouped in this list with the high batting average on balls in play. But a lot of people are talking about Freddie Freeman this year as a guy that they want to have on their team. From what I'm seeing last season, with the more or less like the career numbers, just about. The hard hit rate and the fly ball percentage were career best.
Right.
But the BABIP was high. So are people right with Freddie Freeman, or is it just more speculation?
I think Freeman at this point in his career, he is what he is.
Right.
You know, and it's like you would just worry last year about how the lineup changed around him. They did bulk it up a little bit more, but you know, Freeman's such a professional hitter. You know, when you just watch him with the pure eyeball test, this is a guy that can really put the ball where he wants. He's that professional of a hitter. So I think what you see is what you get.
Is the team around him any better?
It's getting better. It's certainly getting better. I mean, you know, I don't know what's going to happen with Dansby Swanson there. You know, he might not be fully ready, but you're getting guys like Matt Kemp, you know, Inciarte, you know, you're hearing both Tony and I like him a lot.
Malkakis?
So, yeah. But, you know, it's certainly better than it was going into last year.
I don't think people realize. We might not have seen the best of Freddie Freeman. I don't think people realize he's only 27.
Yeah.
Like, you think he's been around
forever.
You
think
Freddie Freeman? And he's been dealing with wrist injuries the last 2 years. And, in fact, I was in Atlanta for a game in April, and I was listening to sports radio, and they wanted him out of town. They thought he was done, and he was hitting seventh in the lineup that day. And then he just turned it on the second half of the season and really put together a great season. I think he hits 30-plus home runs again. And the one thing is they have a new field. We don't know about the dimensions in the ballpark, how that's going to play. It was really pitcher-friendly before, so I'm interested to see what this ballpark plays at. But I like Freddie Freeman, and I think he's a guy that's going to hit 30 home runs again with a good batting average.
So let me ask you fellas this. If you have 1-1, right, and you take Mike Trout at 1-1, and you're coming back for your turn on in the second round from 2 going into 3, and Freeman, Villar, and Martinez are there, who are you taking?
I'm probably going VR if he's still there.
Tony?
I probably am too.
Yeah. The one thing with Freeman, though, is like he came up as a rookie when guys like Chipper and Hudson and McCann were all still there, and he really learned to play the game the right way. You know, he's one of the true professionals in the game.
How do you play the game the right way?
It's just like, you know, when you watch him play, you know, he's so fundamentally strong. You know, that was like, you know, coming up learning from guys like Chipper. They cleared the way to play him first base as a rookie when those guys were still there. That organization, when they cleaned house, they knew they were keeping Freeman as their rock.
This is why Tony be yelling at you, because you just gave intangibles.
So?
Yeah.
I just gave intangibles. I enjoy Freddie Freeman as a player. I think, you know, I watch him and I think he plays the game the right way. He's a very professional hitter. He's a very professional hitter.
So he only gives advice on the baseball field. He doesn't give any personal advice, right?
I think, you know, I've observed
on how to conduct yourself as a professional or anything like that. Like, how far does it go?
I'm just saying, I like Freddie Freeman as, I'm saying, like, as a baseball player. I like him because I believe, you know, he's, from what I'm watching him, I like the way he just goes about his business as a hitter. I feel he's a very professional, smart, intelligent hitter.
No, I know, but you said he took him under his wing. Was it only on the baseball field?
Who took under whose wing?
You said Chipper Jones took Freddie Freeman under his wing.
I'm saying, you know, those type of guys that, you know, the Braves had a very, you know, had a clubhouse where, you know, they would, you know, it was really good environment for a young player. Yeah.
Do you think when the addition
of Matt, how to conduct yourself as the major leaguer.
So when Matt Kemp got there, you don't think that really boosted his game to the next level with Kemp behind him?
Kemp's the new Brave.
I'm talking about going into this season.
Going into this season?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm saying, I already said the lineup is better, yeah.
But do you think that would make it even better for him? Because
I think with Freeman, like I said, I think what you see is what you get, and you can be very satisfied with it.
But nobody picked him.
I'm just saying, Corey, you'll say is like, I like to watch that guy as a player. I enjoy Freddie Freeman as a baseball player.
Okay, I'm just curious as to the draft stock.
What's his ADP right now?
I'm looking at it up right now.
All right.
I think he's going to be there.
I think there were, you know, early, you know, a few years ago, there were higher power expectations for him that some people felt
sure
that he hasn't met, but I really can't complain about the production.
Sure. The let's take a break here. Let's go get more Freddie Freeman's ADP. We'll continue to talk. We'll connect four high BABIPs. You can probably guess which one's next. We'll talk about that on the other side. This is the Roto Experts in the Morning here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. back here, Roto Experts in the Morning, Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Tony and Scott, Scott and Corey had a good conversation here regarding the Bravos. Did you find what you were looking for, Corey?
Oh, yes, I did.
Okay.
Talking about Matt Kemp. The second half of the season, he was in the second half of the season last year.
Yes, he was.
That could have led to the extra production that we saw from Freddie Freeman.
Okay. Makes sense.
I think Freeman's going to be a good hitter no matter who's around him. But certainly the lineup around him looks better. And Matt Kemp was excited to go back to Atlanta.
Let me do this. Connect four, Corey.
Yo.
Todd Frazier, Curtis Granderson, Jose Bautista, Carlos Santana.
Yep, yep, yep.
Connect four.
They all walk a lot?
They do, but that's not right. Scott.
He's probably close in high on base percentage.
That is incorrect. Tony.
Yeah, that was my guess. Yeah. 30% strikeout percentage.
Todd Frazier, Curtis Granderson, Jose Bautista, Carlos Santana, all have BABIPs under 260. So their BABIPs were some of the lowest in the MLB last year for those four players. Frazier, Granderson, Bautista, and Carlos Santana. Now, Santana, I bring up because in an OBP league, we've always talked about how much more valuable this guy is. Right? He's the one guy. He doesn't strike out at all. He walks a ton, as everybody at the table mentioned here. And he has had an unbelievable year last year, hitting 30 bombs, right? And it's crazy because his OBP was still very, very... His BABIP was still one of the lowest in the league, which makes me think he could be this good again, Scott.
Yeah, yeah, but I agree on that. You know, I got Santana, I think, is like... I'm trying to remember what round I got him in the mock, but I just felt it was a good discount. And obviously, the OBP leagues, he went higher. And, like, you know, that's why I thought it was OBP, because I remember Granderson, you know...
Sure.
Hitting leadoff for the Mets, and even though he struck out a lot, you know, he was also on base, you know, drawing walks, etc.
So, yes, tell
what would you guess?
It, Corey. Sorry,
Was Carlos Santana's ADP in NFBC?
I would guess that it is around 100.
Mm-hmm. Scotty,
I would say probably somewhere in the sixth round.
Okay.
83.
Carlos Santana, NFBC ADP is 119.
See, all right, so that's the 12th round. The end of the 12th round we're talking about, almost. Middle of the 12th round.
Yeah. That's crazy.
That's insane.
I'm trying to figure out now, why is that? Now, why is Carlos Santana coming at such a discount?
So, if you're playing in a standard 5x5 league, right, the average is never going to be very good. Last year, it was 259 after two consecutive years at 231. His BABIP, despite being low, so this is one of the things I want to talk about. So, his BABIP was under 260 last year, which is brutal. But, over the last 3 years, BABIP of 249, 261, 258. He's slow as molasses, so, like, this is the kind of guy he is, right, Tony? Like, you're not going to all of a sudden see back in 2013 where the BABIP pops over 300 again. Like, he is a 260 BABIP guy. The average is never going to be very good. The walks are always going to be amazing, right? The OBP is always going to be fantastic in around 360. So if the power is there, like we've seen two out of the last 3 years, and the RBIs are in the 80s, which we've seen all three of the last 3 years, like, he is a much better guy. You're giving me 25 home runs, 85 ribbies, and OBP of, you know, OBP league of 360. This is a guy that deserves to be much earlier than the 12th round, I think.
The problem is this Indians team. If you go back to the last couple of years, Carlos Santana spent some time occasionally at the leadoff spot because they don't have a leadoff hitter.
Yes.
And that will kill you RBI-wise.
Right, of course.
If they put him there. So I think that a lot of people just get scared off by them moving him all over. Like, if they knew that he would hit fourth, which I expect without Mike Napoli be there, they bring Edwin Encarnacion.
Right.
I think him and Encarnacion back to back.
Yep.
There.
Mm-hmm.
But there's always that chance. If he moves in that first hole, you don't get the RBIs.
Yeah, steamer projections for him, 254, 26 home runs, 93 runs scored, 79 RBIs, OBP of 373.
So in a league like mine, which counts hitter strikeouts and counts on base percentage, Carlos Santana needs to be an early round pick.
Your league mates might know that, though.
You think so, but they don't.
Yeah.
Hopefully. Because I actually traded for Carlos Santana last year.
Oh, good job.
I traded Jimmy Nelson for him.
Huh.
That's a good deal.
Oh, jeez.
Yes. Okay, like I said, no. Let me see what round I have, Carl. So
your league mates must have been doing jumping jacks instead of paying attention.
Are you making fun of my jumping jacks?
No, I'm saying it's like, you know, that's a swindle of a deal.
Do you... All right, so would you guys then keep Carlos Santana... So in my league, would you guys keep Carlos Santana in the seventh round?
Yeah.
You would, Tony.
Yeah, he's 34 home runs, so knock him down 25, 25th in the league and on base percentage last year, so he'll be a top 30 at least. Well, so those are two categories to get the RBI. Yeah.
I think so, too, because that's also around that 83rd ADP, right? Like that, you said 83. That's right around there as the seventh round.
Yeah.
And plus, as a keeper league where you have a ton of guys kept, his value goes up anyway. So right. I think it makes sense for you to keep Carlos Santana in the seventh. Yeah. And he's going to be first. He played enough first base where I think he'll be first base eligible, too.
Oh, I think so, too. I'm going to look it up, but catcher, I believe first base. He is.
Not catcher. Oh, no. Definitely not catcher.
No. I'm wishing.
Yeah. He's going to be first base eligible. Over. He strikes out under 100 times. I mean, this guy, I'm going to keep this guy in the seventh round. This guy's awesome.
Remember when he was a catcher?
Of course I did, and a third baseman as well. Yeah. All right, so that's Carlos Santana. And then you get me to a guy like that you just said, Scott, in Curtis Granderson, right? Like, he's another one of these guys that should be in the middle of the order, but he moved to the leadoff spot, and he got scorching hot. Like, he has been streaky his entire career. And then last year, Curtis Granderson finished with 30 home runs here. I know he's getting older. I know he's not all that exciting.
He is older.
Oh, he's older. Right? He's not getting older. He is older. Yeah. But Curtis Granderson's somebody who has seen the average drop, but he kind of got unlucky last year. Now, how does this compare to the previous year, the last few years of Curtis Granderson? Well, it's a significant drop from 2015. The BABIP was 254 last year. The year before that, 305. So went That's a 50-point drop.
He went from 259 to 237 batting average-wise, and then
right.
then his OBP dropped about 30 points.
Right. So,
but that it was more in line with his career norm, which is 335. It was exactly, you know, I'm sorry, his career norm 340.
His career OBP, you're saying, is 340. Right. So his career average is around 255, about 20 points lower than he was last year. The career BABIP is 296, about 40 points lower than it was last year. So, and I know he's getting older, so it may not be a good barometer anymore, but you have to think the BABIP goes up, the average goes up a little bit. So let's say Granderson goes from 237 to 250, which isn't crazy.
I'm thinking more like 245,
okay.
28 homers. You know, obviously there's been no speed. Like, you know, the 11 stolen bases actually 2 years ago was kind of a surprise. You know, he strikes out just about as much as anybody in baseball. But, you know, this is like a 245, 28 homer guy to me right now.
He hit the ball in the air a lot. So he's trying to show off that power, but he probably should be not trying to hit the ball in the air as much, and I think that's what's driving the BABIP.
That's a good point too. When he was younger, he hit the ball on the ground, was able to get beat it out.
His fly ball rate is consistently above 40%. You know, since 2007. So,
I'm just saying, if you want to know where the BABIP is coming from, that
I understand.
He's trying to hit home runs. You know what I'm saying?
Well, he's always been trying to hit home runs.
Tony, where are you interested in Curtis Granderson in 2017?
No, not at all.
Okay.
I wouldn't draft him.
He just turned 36 during the season.
Yeah. The last couple of years, I've been waiting for him to fall off, and he hasn't, to his credit.
Yep.
But when he came over to the Mets, he couldn't hit lefties at all. And he's been okay against them. I mean, he's not earth-shattering. I mean, he had 226 versus lefties last year. The strikeout percentage, I thought, would be huge. And now with the way baseball goes, you get to the seventh inning, he's going to face a lefty every time. He's got to keep the home runs up because he don't steal bases anymore. He doesn't have a batting average. He's not going to get any RBI. I mean, it's very limited what you can get. If you don't get the home runs, you get nothing from this guy.
Yeah, it's a good point, and we can keep saying it. A million guys hit the home runs. You're not getting enough from Curtis Granderson.
You'll get 25, but wouldn't you rather take Melvin Upton and get 20-20?
No, because Melvin Upton is going to bet 200. Screw Melvin Upton. He's not going to play.
Well, you know, Curtis Granderson could hit 225.
That's true.
You know?
That's true.
Yeah.
That's a good point.
They could both have a similar batting average, and you get the steals with Melvin.
What about Corey? What about Todd Frazier?
What about Todd Frazier?
Because Todd Frazier, we talked about him in the Jose Abreu conversation during the first hour, comes over, and he had the lowest BABIP in the league last year. BABIP was 236 for him. His career average is 278. I mean, that is a 40-point drop-off from the career average. We've seen his average 2 years ago, 309 with the Reds. The year before that, it was 271. We know the power is legit. This guy absolutely has 35 to 40 home run power. We've seen him win home run derbies. We know he's going to steal double-digit bases. The average last year at 225, I have to think that's going to go back up to around 250. If you're giving me 250 with, let's say, 13 stolen bases and 35 home runs, or 30 home runs even, that's pretty good.
I think Todd Frazier is a player that
I'll... bounce back guy.
Yeah, that's definitely a bounce back guy. A player that I'll be in on this season. Last year, the 225 batting average, that was that's not his game. He can hit the baseball a little bit better than that. Give him about 20 to 25 points on the batting average. Get that to that 245, 250 range. Like you said, Greg, I didn't know the dude stole 15 bases. You know what I'm saying? Doesn't look like he can run that. He doesn't look like he can run that.
He doesn't look like he's a slow guy, does he?
He looks like he runs like Jason Witten, I'll be honest with you.
Really?
He looks like a dad runner. You know what I mean? So I wasn't expecting the 15 stolen bases, but the 40 bombs is there for the taking. So I think Todd Frazier is a player I'm going to be in on. So I'm looking up his ADP right now.
Yeah, consistent. Pretty much double figure stolen base guy.
Tony, what about you?
I didn't know that. This is news to me.
What about you on Todd Frazier here?
I like him a lot. I think if you look at the batter balls of play, they were low. The hard hit rate dropped to low. But I think a lot of it goes where people don't give this credit anymore is the switching leagues and getting a new environment.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think that'll correct itself this year. And I think he's going to be a bargain where he's going in drafts this year. Third base.
FSTA, he went in the sixth round. Where's he going in the NFBC court?
His NFBC ADP is 73rd overall.
So he's going to the top of the seventh.
Yep.
Top of the seventh round.
So that's where you can get him at. You know what I'm saying?
I think it's a good spot for him, right? Like, people, who would you rather have? I'm just looking at the FSTA here.
I hate to use the word guarantee.
I don't want to
You know what I'm saying? But we're talking about health and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But can you really say that if you get him in the seventh round, you're getting 15 stolen bases?
I think you're getting a dozen.
You're getting, I guarantee you 12.
You can guarantee me a dozen.
I'm also guaranteeing you 30 home runs, too.
Yeah, no, I like that.
Would you rather have Todd Frazier or Kyle Schwarber, Scott?
I'm going to go Todd Frazier, for a little bit of speed there.
Tony, would you rather have Todd Frazier or Adrian Beltre?
Oh, Adrian Beltre. I get the 300 batting average. I get the 30 home runs. And I think I'm in a better offensive situation there to get a higher RBI totals. And probably run scored.
We're not calling him over.
But it's close.
That's close. Yeah, I agree it's close. All right. Corey,
what if this dude, like, there's been rumors that he might get flipped to the Yanks.
The Yanks?
Yeah.
I don't know. For who? Where are you putting them?
I don't know. I'm just telling you something I read on the internet.
Tony, you would love it's that, right? Be There'd be two Fraziers in one lineup, right?
Well, not yet. Clint Frazier's still in AAA. Yeah.
We'll see. You know, he could be up in June.
Well, that's June. That's true, yeah. I'd love Todd Frazier to play Judge third base instead of Chase effing Headley.
So, but like...
You might put him in the outfield.
Oh, we can get Clyde Frazier. Juvenile. Sorry, Greg. Greg rolled his eyes at me.
Would you rather have Todd Frazier or Anthony Rendon?
Oh, that's a good one right there. You know, that's one of my guys right there. Yeah, give me the batting average. Give me the 270 to 280 batting average on Anthony Rendon.
I'm taking Todd Frazier there.
Me too.
There's just so much. I mean, they steal the same amount of bases. Frazier will get you 10 to 15 more home runs. I'll take that over the average of 20 to 30 points. It's a trade-off.
What trade-off do you prefer?
Absolutely. All right, we'll break
here. Doesn't make me wrong, though.
I didn't say you were wrong.
Oh, okay.
I asked your opinion. How can your opinion be wrong?
Remember the television show, Frasier?
Yes.
I was just thinking
here
it.
We go. Here we go.
I don't want Clint Frazier to come up, and I don't want Todd Frazier to be a Yankee, because I don't want to hear people like Lenny Melnick going, "Down goes Frazier."
Where would you be listening at?
Why are you listening to Lenny Melnick?
Yeah. Where are you listening to Lenny Melnick
at?
What? I still talk to Lenny. From
time. No, and I'm saying you said listen. You don't want to listen to him.
Yeah, I don't want to hear people like Lenny Melnick saying down goes Frazier.
Oh, okay.
Why are there people like Lenny Melnick? I've never met one.
Well, you haven't met anybody else quite like him. Yeah.
What do we expect from Jose Bautista? We'll find out what the guys think. Coming up next, being the Roto Experts. Scott brought up a really funny point during the break. Like, we were talking about Curtis Granderson's age. We were talking about Todd Frazier getting up there. Adrian Beltre's age never comes up. Scott was staring at you because you brought the point up. Did you turn your mic on? You have a mic? Turn your mic on?
Yeah, it's on.
Now it is. You weren't talking into it, so it was hard to understand that.
Well, we talk about guys getting old. Like, Granderson's old. You know, we bring up Jose Bautista. People talk about his age. Etc. You know, with Adrian Beltre, the way he produces, nobody mentions his age.
Speaking of age, you mentioned Jose Bautista. Tony Bautista down year last year, mired with injuries, didn't get paid as he wanted to. Right, signed a 1-year deal, could go back to Toronto with an option for another. About $18 million he made this year. What do you think of Jose Bautista and his ability to come back?
He's actually a nice bargain for fantasy owners right now. If you draft, and a lot of people are down on him. So you can get him for you're going to get a tough average, right? The 22 home runs, you look at it and you say, oh, he only hit 22 home runs. But you got to look, he only played 116 games. So if you can get him back there, I think 30 home runs is definitely doable. I think he's a bargain on draft day right now.
Would you rather have Todd Frazier or Jose Bautista?
I'd rather have Todd Frazier because of third base.
Okay.
Plus the average.
I think there's a drop-off after there.
Okay, that's reasonable.
You have more steals from Frazier, too. True. The average could be comparable. You know, the projections right now for Bautista are 249, 27, 76, and 78.
Corey, would you rather have Todd Frazier or Evan Longoria?
I don't like Evan Longoria.
Well,
I don't go with
Tony
Todd.
Doesn't either, I don't think.
I don't go with Todd Frazier. I think Longoria, listen, I look at Longoria as a player that, I hate to say this, but he's washed up. He's not in the good offensive.
Dude, he had 36 home runs last year.
No, he's not. He's not washed up. He did hit 36 home runs last year. He's not in the best offensive environment. It's something about the player that I just don't trust. The numbers I'm looking at it right now from last season are very good numbers. I think I would give Todd Frazier the nod. I don't believe in the ability. No, I believe in the ability. I just don't think he can put together those good offensive seasons.
Jumped almost
seasons.
80 points last year.
He turned back the clock last year.
Well, he's also played 160 games each of the last four. Each of the last 4 years, the injuries aren't a concern. We know the power is there. He can hit, let's say, 25. He can hit 25 home runs, let's say. Yeah. Bat 270, let's say.
Yeah.
You're getting a ton of runs, a ton of RBIs. Like, what else do you want? Like, what's wrong with this guy? Like, why do we not like him?
I don't know. I think that he's definitely the safer option out of the two.
I think
you look at Todd Frazier and you say, man, I can get 40 home runs, so you jump at that.
A lot of times you ask this question, Greg, and you say, Abreu, you know, what's wrong with him?
Right,
you know, and then you say, Longoria, what's wrong with him?
Yeah.
And it's not even going into this year. It's in the past. We get narratives.
Right.
And these guys get stigmas. Like, the expectations were higher for them at some point, and they weren't met.
Right.
They flatlined.
People
jump
still
off.
Have that in their mind.
100% sure.
Yeah.
You're absolutely right, Scotty. That people, like, when Evan Longoria was a first-round pick 4 years ago, and he disappointed everyone, he keeps dropping.
People don't let go of it.
He keeps dropping. Man, Evan Longoria sucks. He keeps dropping.
No, there's no closure the other way.
Yeah, you're right, Scott. There's no closure.
So Longoria picked with the last pick here in the FSTA draft, right? He was picked the last pick of the sixth round. He was picked 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 picks after Todd Frazier.
He's a better option, and looking at the numbers,
a better batting average, less power, no speed.
I think I'd rather have no speed, right?
Yeah.
So that's like the difference. I think I'd rather have Longoria than Frazier, personally, and Beltre rather than Frazier.
Depends on how you make
definitely
up your team.
Definitely Beltre.
You know, Frazier, I think, you know, better bet to hit 30 home runs and it'll give you the speed.
Okay.
But you'll take the hit in the batting average.
It's close. It's definitely close. All these guys.
I'll keep the power and the speed and take the hit in the DA.
Okay. Right on the same level at third base. We go to break here. We'll come back. 9 a.m. hour. Stick around. This is the Roto Experts in the Morning here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.